How's the Georgia weather today?
It's cold.
It's cold? Yeah,
windy. I mean, when I got off the flight, I landed at like, you know, it was 1:30 in the morning. Uh-huh. And I had parked at the other end of the lot. And I had my suitcase and my box of peacock feathers and my travel case and my computer bag. And I was underdressed for the weather. It was cold and windy. And it was just kind of like, yeah, this kind of makes sense. You know, a great way to end an incredible trip with a little epic weather. Just one last hurdle. But no, I'm good. See, I feel great.
I want cold weather, though. I've been dressing for cold weather, and it's high 80s today. Just because, you know, California weather. But, man, I'm so excited to come home and wear all my sweaters and sweatshirts and layers.
It feels great. It's amazing, though. There's that fine line between it's hot, I wish it were cooler, and it's cool, I wish it were warmer. It's like we're never satisfied as human beings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I am satisfied to be here in this chair and ready to do a podcast with you.
Should we roll the intro music?
Let's do it.
Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos. Mags and Dads.
Maggie, I actually wore your Providence, was it soccer jacket?
Your letter jacket last night.
My Letterman jacket? Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I should not have had a Letterman jacket either. That's so funny.
You lettered in, what did you letter in?
Soccer.
I lettered in theater and band.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Aren't Letterman jackets, I guess they're not specifically for athletes.
I've never heard them called a Letterman jacket. It's just your letter jacket, right?
No, it's a Letterman jacket.
Oh.
It looks like a leather jacket to me, but I don't know.
It's got leather arms.
It was cold out, and we went to trivia with my parents and my sister and brother-in-law and their friends and family from the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And we went to a trivia night at a pizza restaurant, which we didn't do this with them for a while. But you used to do trivia all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I did it for at least a year or two before your dad and I met. I was doing it when we met.
She was trivia.
When we started dating.
Hostess.
I was actually the scorekeeper, which meant I got paid peanuts, but I was actually feeding all the funny lines to the DJ. And he would just repeat whatever I said. And it was like, okay, can I get some extra commission on that? No, but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Also, I take back what I said about Letterman jackets. I think everyone should be able to have them, even if they aren't athletically inclined.
Like a participation jacket, even if you didn't participate.
No, you can letter in academics. You can. It just basically is like you're
no,
a person
you can't.
That.
Can't.
Yeah, you can letter in a debate club. You can letter in anything that's like saying I got involved in my school, represented my school.
It
at some
on
high
the school.
Level. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you
concept.
Could do that. I thought it was only for sports. I mean, I was a football manager.
I lettered
in football.
I got a letter jacket for team trivia, actually.
Oh, and I lettered for
competitive
last
team
night.
Trivia.
I lettered for managing boys soccer, too. Man,
that's what I said.
Interesting
yeah,
high school experience.
Yeah,
oh,
they should have given me more
band.
Than one jacket.
Wait, yeah, no. I did not letter in band. I totally made that up.
You were barely in band. Yes. I was going to say, like,
you played three instruments for a total of what, like 6 weeks?
I have no
Maybe
idea.
Maybe a little more. It wasn't long.
That I was in band?
Yeah.
No, I was in band for years.
You were?
Oops. Yeah, in middle school. I did band 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Oh, I was thinking of high school.
Yeah, no, I wasn't in high school. Man, the more you know. But LA was so fun.
I know. I was thinking about it, making some notes for this conversation today. It felt like we were just hanging out and felt really laid back. Mm-hmm. But we did a ton in the 2.5 days that I was there. Like,
yeah.
Incredible amount.
A lot of driving.
Yes, Maggie was an awesome driver. Although I don't know that you would have appreciated her LA driving. She's like, there's different rules in LA, right, Maggie?
Yeah.
Like you've got to got to keep up your speed. You can't allow any distance at all between yourself and the car in front of you.
Oh, no, 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 no.
That's not true. I do allow distance. It's just things do stop very quickly. And so you have to stop very quickly. It would but not have passed the
if you allow too much distance, then people just are constantly cutting in front of you. And
which I'm totally okay with people like going. Okay,
yeah.
But use your blinker. If you don't have your blinker on, I mm-hmm. will probably try to not let you in as much.
What freaks me out is the motorcycles. They just come like flying. So you know, so traffic is stopped or people are moving at certain speeds. And then the motorcycles on the dotted line between the lanes just go flying past.
What's that called? That's called something. And it's legal.
Well, sure.
It's legal? Yeah.
No, it's totally legal. It's part of the law of what makes it, you know.
That they're allowed to go on the line? No, the line is separating the lanes.
No, it's not
true. You have to be in a lane. It's legal.
Motorcycles can do that legally in LA and in California anyway. I think it's the only way they can kind of like effectively manage the flow of traffic because there's just so many people.
So dangerous.
I know.
It's like called lane splitting. Lane splitting by motorcyclists is legal in California. Intentionally blocking or impeding a motorcyclist in a way that could cause harm to the rider is illegal. Opening a vehicle door to impede a motorcyclist is illegal. Okay, that's okay. But you could so easily hit one of them unintentionally.
Yeah. And right. Yeah, because they come up too fast because you're thinking about your relative position to the cars next to you, but the cars around, you know, the motorcycle could be like still a long ways back and he's going so fast.
And a lot of times when like you're in tighter traffic, if you're going to get over, you have to force your way in a little bit. So even if you're not directly getting over, you're inching your way over there. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's so
impeding
dangerous.
Impeding the
so
flow
dumb.
of a lane splitter. Yeah. You're impeding the flow of the lane splitters.
So well, that wasn't get one a motorcycle. Of the best parts of LA.
So get a flying car and just rise above it.
Literally and metaphorically. I love that. No, but I landed at like 6:30 at night. I did a speech that day in Orlando. And you picked me up. We went straight to the pickleball courts by way of the Whole Foods because it was pickleball potluck, which I'd heard so much about on the podcast here.
Yeah.
And we got there around 8:30-ish, which is like, you know, 11:30 to my body clock at this point after a long day and a long flight and a long speech. But I got this like second wind and I was a little intimidated. I have to say, Maggie, the level of competition and talent on the pickleball court where you play is quite something.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah, we have 5-0 players, which is like highest ranking in the world.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. Did I play with any of those people?
No.
I think you would have known.
Well, me.
Well, I think whoever I was playing with was probably taking it easy on me to some extent. But no.
I'm not really not that good games.
Right. No, it was great. I told Aunt Wendy about that last night as well.
What'd she say?
She said, she just thought it was great. Thought that it was great that we played and that you're playing. And Yeah, there wasn't a lot of potluck there, though. There was kind of like the food we brought, and that was it.
Well, we've only brought food for ourselves. And I did.
Well, you brought food for us. I brought cold soup.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's what I bought, but I thought it would be tastier than it was. Yes.
But I almost pointed out to you where the potluck was. It was right next to us. It was just very, very sad and small. So I didn't actually even end up pointing it out to you, but it was there.
Nice.
It's more about the community and the friends. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Yep. And I get to meet Ethan and Sterling and several other of your friends that night as well.
Yeah.
Which was great. And we were there almost till when it closed. But by then I was definitely turning into a pumpkin. Yes. And Maggie gave me her bed. She said I could sleep in her bed, which was really sweet.
Nice.
And so thank you for
that.
Gave
me my room. Yeah.
Your room. And it was very cozy, very cozy.
Thanks.
Yeah. And so then the next day, Maggie had her acting class.
Oh yeah.
And you were asking me, should I reschedule it? I was like, no, you know, keep your class, keep your commitments, keep your, you know, momentum on your acting. Definitely going forward. I'll figure out something else to do. So how was that?
It was good. Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't audit the class. That would have been
no. Awful. He asked about it.
I asked about it.
I genuinely think he would have gotten bored. Bro, these classes, I love them. I really, really do. I love, like, such great teachers and everything and work. But they're 4 hours long.
Wow.
And I don't think Daddy would have started stretching and sighing and
being,
and
weird,
being loud.
Totally.
And then opened his TikTok a couple times, which you cannot keep quiet.
It, with one earbud in, listening to his podcasts.
Yeah.
So Ethan from Pickleball was also in the acting class. So there was a connection there, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. See, it's all
so what did
connected.
You do while she was acting?
Well, I had all kinds of ideas. I was going to either work on my book. I was going to see Carol, which I didn't end up working out. She was busy. She had family over and stuff. So I decided instead to go like scout locations for my weekly video, which I was going to shoot the next morning, Sunday morning. And so I Googled, or I'd done this earlier. I Googled nature near me from Maggie's House, which is actually a pretty cool thing to do. You could put in nature near me anywhere you go and it'll come up with like nature preserves or parks or just any kind of areas where you want to get out into nature, because that's what the video was about. It was about how to, you know, why I explore in nature and how it serves me. And I tried to relate it to like your nature. So I went up this trail. It's called the Ferndale Trail, and it winds up the mountain, as California trails will, and it goes to the Griffith Observatory, which is, so it's a pretty good hike, maybe a mile and a half or so up. And then when you get to the top, you're at the Griffith Observatory, which is like a world-class planetarium and science center, free to the public. And it was amazing.
I love this kind of thing.
It was a really very amazing place. And then I hiked back down and I went back and I waited for Maggie and picked her up.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful time. Much better time than I would have had auditing the class. Because I think you can't just watch the class. Auditing the class means like you're in the class, right?
No. No, you would just observe.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Right. Because that would have been
but
really
also,
weird.
You audit a class. You audit a class with the intent to join.
Right.
And everyone would know that my dad, who was in town from Georgia for 2 days, was not having an intent to join the class.
Well, it would also make people more self-conscious maybe, and they wouldn't be doing their normal thing. No?
Nah, we're professionals.
There you go. Anyway, it was a great, great time, great trip. And it was also a great location for the video. The next morning I was up there by like 6 a.m. It was still dark.
Before daylight.
Definitely. I was hiking up the mountain.
As we've established in previous podcasts.
People with lights and lights on their glasses, lights on their dogs, walking their dogs up the mountain. Ah. And I walked up there and I'm just waiting. Wait, can I get enough light yet for my first shot? And it's still a little bit dark in my first shot, but I think it came out great. You go check it out, danthurman.com, and you be the judge.
I think what's semi-impressive is that we managed to go to Whole Foods 3 times in a 2-day visit.
Yes, yes. But that wasn't uneventful in and of itself.
No, no. Have you told Mom about this?
What happened?
No, I didn't. This was one of those stories, honey, that I'm saving for the podcast to tell you.
Oh, no.
Oh, Mom.
No.
This was...
So basically...
Yeah.
Dad, Jenna, and I, we decided to go for a little ice cream run to Whole Foods, get some
after
ice cream
Indian
to take
food,
it up.
We had some killer Indian food. And then on the way home, we're like, hey, let's get some ice cream. So we went to Whole Foods. Go on, Maggie.
We grabbed that. And then what was it? We were in a snack aisle.
Well, we were shopping just for a few other things. And Jenna wanted to get like... you know, a food bar, like a nutrition or protein bar. And there was a specific kind that she wanted. Yes. And she wanted the minis that were in this certain flavor, which were only available like on the top shelf in the aisle. And she looks up there and she said, hey, are either of you feeling like doing a stunt to go get those for me?
And you said, I was hoping you'd ask.
Well, and so...
I kind of sized it up for a second. I sized it up. I I thought about it and I took a step back, and that's kind of when you went into action.
Yeah, because my first thought was I could pick up Maggie. You could stand on my shoulders. You could sit on my shoulders. I could just hold you up like in a cheerleading pose. There's a lot of ways we could have approached it. But when you took a step back, I felt like you were disengaging from the experience. And I was like, you know what? Let me just knock this out, like seize the moment. And so I just took a big running jump. And at the same time on my way up, just for a little extra push, I started to push off of the shelf.
No.
It's not as bad as you think. I didn't knock the whole shelf out, but I did break the front of the shelf off with all of the pricing on it and all the signs on it. And it just kind of went snap. It hit the ground. I didn't make the top. I didn't get the, I didn't get anything off the top shelf. And Jenna immediately doubles over with laughter.
Oh, I thought you said she like bolted.
No, she starts laughing and crying. And then
we're laughing.
Yeah,
I'm crying.
And we're trying to be inconspicuous, but we can't.
Basically, my thought then was like, oh, okay, this is broken. This is on the floor. Let me look around to see if anyone else saw this. Yeah. And so I look to my right, and a foot and a half away is a step stool ladder.
Imagine that.
On wheels, perfectly designed to accommodate our dilemma.
Were you able to put the front of the shelf back together, or was it broken?
No, it would not go back on. We just kind of hid it in there.
Oh, no.
And I set it on top of the shelf. Yeah, but
get this. Jenna takes another look over the shelf and finds that the bars are actually on the bottom shelf as well.
No! Oh, my
goodness. Well, what happened is Maggie then at that point really quickly went up the ladder. She grabbed them off the top shelf. We went to check out, and while we're checking out, Jenna looks and she realizes those aren't even the ones she wanted.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So she went back by herself at this point. We're still checking out. And yeah, and that's when she said they were on the bottom, actually.
So you told them you broke the shelf, right? And they had you arrested? No, you did not.
We shopped there like three times, honey. We bought a lot of stuff.
We are keeping them in business, all right?
Absolutely.
We can break a shelf or two.
All good.
So that letter that we got from Whole Foods, that's just coupons, right?
So there was one monumental achievement for our LA trip. I finally got to meet Blythe.
Yay!
That's true. That did happen. And actually, time did stop for a second.
She's an awesome person who actually really exists. And we had coffee together and she was super cool.
It was very
fun.
And
I can tell why you get along so well with her, Maggie. She's a really, you and her are a lot alike, kindred spirits.
Yeah. Well, I looked up after last week's podcast, I looked up to try to find those Getty pictures and I never found you, but I was looking and I couldn't find
either one of you. What do you mean you never found me?
I never found you. And then so
all
your
you
dad
do is
comes
search
back.
My name.
Oh, well, I put the event in Getty pictures and the Catherine called Birdie in there. And then I'm like, your dad walks up and I'm like, yeah, I can't find Maggie and Blythe. And I scroll back to the top and I realize the very first picture, which is
the featured picture
is Blythe.
That's so funny.
Now I hadn't met her before, but I've seen her in your videos. So I didn't notice it right off, but I thought that was hilarious.
I will say, so I ended up driving dad. He had work here in Laguna Beach and I ended up driving him to his hotel and I just ended up staying the night. Y'all, the hotel is one of the nicest hotels I've ever been to because it's nice, not in a very like large corporate way. Mm-hmm. It's very like, I don't know, just intentional about its design. And I have a video that I just took in the morning because we got there at night. And then when I woke up, it was just me in the hotel room. And so I went over to the curtains and I knew we had an oceanside view. And so I just recorded my reaction of getting the curtains open. But this was like less than a minute since I was asleep to being awake to looking at the ocean. So it's just, I'm so disorganized in the video. But yeah, our view was just the ocean and it looked straight out of a movie. And the food was great and the coffee was great. And it was overall, I'm so glad I went.
Yeah, it's like you're on the side of a cliff with a stair steps down to the beach and this little strip of beach that extends out to these rocks, and the waves are crashing against the rocks. It reminded me of like when we were in Puerto Rico at the El Conquistador, a little bit like that. But this is the Montage Laguna Beach. Oh. The Montage hotels are really amazing. They're all dog friendly hotels. Mm. And I know what you mean, Maggie. It's like it's classy and elegant without being pretentious. It's just everything's beautiful and really it's designed
it's
to the point.
It's private too. It's pretty private.
It's like a boutique kind of hotel.
Mm-hmm. Next time I go there, you're going to come with me.
Nice.
Definitely.
We're definitely not bringing the dog that's sitting next to me now because he smells so bad.
I know. He likes it that
way. Not very dog friendly, or this dog is not friendly smelling.
I don't get it. Ugh. But yeah, that was a good time. And even there, we did a lot, even though we were there just for the night. I was so glad you got to go to my speech. We made a couple TikToks in the hotel room, which was fun. We had some good food. And and then you got me to the airport, which was different than the airport I intended to go to.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Delta changed my flight. And I didn't check the day before. They changed it to an earlier time. And so instead of like getting off stage and immediately rushing to the airport, I knew I had a little extra time, but I didn't. And so by the time we were on the way to the airport, my flight was already boarding and we were about 30 minutes away from Orange County. So I had to change it. Maggie drove me back to LAX, which meant more time in the car together. So
we had good food. Well. It was great. We had a great lunch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I had two speeches before I got to LA. The first was in Nashville, and that was for a group called the OB Hospitalist Group. These are people who like manage and lead teams to run the like delivery rooms, the emergency delivery rooms for delivering babies in hospitals. Like they're employed by the hospital to just run that whole department. Mm-hmm. And I was learning some things from them that are really cool, like that I didn't know. For example, did you know like 50% or more than that, 53% of all babies that are delivered in the U.S. are delivered under Medicaid. They have no prior obstetrician in this person's in this person's whole pregnancy. They just show up into the emergency room. Maybe they've seen somebody like once or something early in the pregnancy, but like this whole concept of having regular obstetrician care during your whole pregnancy and you get to be with your doctor, that's not kind of the situation. Quite often for these whole centers and for these teams, there's just like a pregnant woman who shows up and you don't know the first thing about her and, or about her pregnancy. And it's like, okay, let's go. So I thought that was really, really interesting. Mm. And that these were people who were all expert in dealing with that kind of emergency situation.
Yeah. That's wild.
Well, I shared with them and I've never shared this story from the stage before about when you had your ruptured ectopic pregnancy, nearly died and you got rushed to the hospital.
You rushed me to the hospital.
I know. I even told them like how I did that with you on the, in the back of the van splayed out on all fours. Because mom was in so much pain, this was like at 4 a.m, that she could not even sit down. She could, the only way she could find comfort, any kind of comfort, was to be like on her hands and knees in the back of the minivan.
Well, I couldn't stand straight up. I couldn't,
Like you said it was like getting shot.
I felt like, and I said that to the doctor in the emergency room. I said, I feel like this is more painful than being shot. And he said, oh, yes, it is. You know, not that he would know, but he's, you know, from his experience with ectopics. In fact, that month they had 5 ectopic pregnancies in the, what do you call it? The group or the doctor's group that I went to. Yeah, it's crazy.
And my mom was, almost didn't survive it. Her doctor happened to be at the hospital that morning to do a surgery for someone else. So her doctor was able to take her, saved her life. They like recycled her blood that was in her body and put it back in her veins, like gave her own blood back to her.
Yeah. So this really cool machine that thankfully they had on hand. One of the other women, same situation, ruptured. They didn't have it and she had to have a transfusion.
Did you know the story? And then
I didn't know details.
Right. And then, so she lost one of her tubes. And then at that point we were like, well, I guess maybe we're not going to be able to have kids, but then we had 2 amazing kids, Eddie and Maggie, and both delivered again in kind of like an emergency situation or you know, by C-section. But anyway, yeah. So I shared all of that with this group, which they thought was really amazing. And I also shared the story about you donating a kidney. So you were both of my bookend signature stories.
And they said, she's addicted to surgery, isn't she? Yes.
Your wife likes pain.
She must love hospitals.
Exactly. Exactly.
I was in a hospital like 2 weeks ago visiting a friend.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
It's such an interesting place. Like it's... I didn't know how to act at first or at all. I never really had a learning curve on that. And then I talked to my friend.
Was your friend okay?
Yeah. He's discharged now, but I talked to him a few days after and he was like, oh yeah, I actually have no memory of your visit.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, okay.
I was there for hours. I brought you this gigantic plant and a big bear. And
yeah.
Wow.
Hospitals are weird. I know what you mean because it's like, I feel like, you know, you want to go there, you want to be with someone, but then once you're with them, it's like, how do you best provide comfort?
You want to play some cards?
Yeah. Man.
What hospital? Just out of curiosity, like I know all the hospitals in LA, right?
I don't know. It was in Burbank.
Okay. Oh yeah. That one.
Yeah.
We saw Philip and Henry while we were in.
Ain't no way you'd know the hospital, Mom.
I have actually been to one of the hospitals there because
Cedars-Sinai.
When Dan and I went to go visit Pasha and Philip before their twins were born, and we were like, we want to see Pasha before she has the baby. We get off the plane, and your dad has a message. Pasha's in labor. Come straight to the hospital, and we're like, But we still saw her before the girls were born. But then by the next morning, we got to see the baby girls.
Yeah.
Aww. That was one of the coolest, neatest impromptu trips ever.
It was. It was great. And we were talking about it just a couple of days ago with Philip and Henry.
December 7th,
who happened to be in 17th, who happened to be in LA as well.
Cool.
Yeah, like I said, like all of it came together.
One of the things we did do, Mom, that both Dad and I said, oh, Mom should definitely have been here for this and you would have loved it, is we went around and we looked at people's Halloween decorations and people were really going for it. Aww. It was really, really interesting. And also they were just beautiful homes in general, but so well decorated. And you guys have always been, you know, Halloween decorators and you would have loved it.
Yeah. I feel like I've done the least Halloween decor this year than I have in 20 years.
Oh, next but the year. Porch Knight, the Porch Knight is making an appearance back on the Halloween. Yes. So he has a skeleton hanging from his like spear. And then I came home, I just cracked up. Yeah. Mom put a like Halloween Jason, like the is it Jason?
I don't know. I think mask, so. I don't watch scary movies.
The murderer from the Halloween movies who wears the hockey mask. She's put the hockey mask on the night, on the Porch Knight. So as soon as this podcast is over, we're putting him back on the porch.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Because it's now officially a Halloween decoration.
It's a decoration.
But well, we'll see if you guys get any more complaints.
But you would have loved this. Maggie's given me this tour because this is like, this area is really well known for their Halloween decorations, Toluca Lake. And she's like, that's Fred Astaire's home where Fred Astaire used to live. And
Frank
all these
Sinatra,
other,
but so close.
Oh, Frank Sinatra and all these others. And I was just so impressed, Maggie, either you were making it all up really seamlessly using your acting skills or you really knew what you were talking about. It was very good.
Yeah. It's such a cool area.
Definitely. Well, a couple more years, you can buy a house and move in there. You said they all start at like $5 million for a little fixer upper.
And he's a little five. Yeah. If I want to be on the lake, then we're probably talking 10, 15.
Yeah. Okay.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
10, that's 15, right. 80, that's somewhere in that ballpark.
Did you guys take any video or pictures or you just enjoyed
it? Dad did. I was driving.
Oh, good. Good. Well, then I'll have a look at them.
Yeah. And you could put them in the podcast if they're any good. I'm not sure if they're any good. All right. Well, hey, thank you for catching up on the LA trip and our weekly adventures with us. And thank you for listening to the podcast. We would love to hear from you and to learn what's on your mind and answer any questions that you might be thinking about for me and Mags or any topics. Go to wholesomechaos.com to suggest those and check out the other aspects of what we have there for you too.
Until next time. I love you guys.
Love you too, Mags.
And we love you. Have a great week.
Bye.
Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos. Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos.
Jenna and I have officially decided on Halloween costumes.
Oh.
Bring in.
I don't think I want to tell you guys yet, though. Mm. But they're going to be really good. We started brainstorming different videos we want. We've ordered the costumes. And I was so behind on costumes last year and everything was last minute that it's good to have a little bit of a head start on this. But man, I'm very, very excited and I will be talking about it so much on here. Are you guys going to dress up?
What do you think, honey?
I actually unpacked the velvet smoking jacket for your dad today. I was showing him that. So I'd like to see him in that.
All right, honey. We're going to go try on some costumes right now, honey.
Oh, no.
I mean, just for Halloween. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Wholesome chaos.